On May 17th, 1991, Touchstone Pictures released a film in theaters nationwide that was called What About Bob, which starred Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss. The movie almost doubled its projected earnings, and it centered around a pompous New York psychotherapist, played by Richard Dreyfuss, and his dependent, manipulative, obsessively compulsive, narcissist patient named Bob Wiley, who was played by Bill Murray. Now, while I didn't particularly love this movie, in fact, I can barely remember this movie, I couldn't stop thinking about the title of this movie and the plot and how those things correlate today with our moms. You see, our mothers aren't like Bob. They're not dependent. They're not manipulative. They're not obsessively compulsive or narcissistic. Rather, they're patient and independent and obsessively passionate about their children. Today, on this Mother's Day, our moms, if only for one day, become the co-stars of this special showing that makes us ask, what about Mom and what about God? And as we ask this, we on this Mother's Day and on this Sunday will feature and focus our attention on them. To do this, it starts by doing something that seems easy enough, but we don't always do this, and it's by remembering them. You see, our moms always remember us. The question is, do we children remember them? Perhaps the most gripping answer to that question lies in our sermon text, which is found in John 19, 25 through 27, where our suffering Savior provides the perfect template of the duty that we as children have of remembering Mom. Let's read this passage. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, Mary, his aunt, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside me being John, his close friend, he said to her, "He is your son." And to me, John, he said, "She is your mother." And from then on, I took her into my home. Now, there's a lot of weird pronoun usage in here, so we need to make sure and clarify what this is. John wrote this gospel. John is referred to as not as John here, but as he. Jesus and John were close. Jesus obviously loved his mother very much, and Jesus trusted John to care for her. Do not lose focus. Do not miss the point that Jesus himself was hanging on the cross as he remembered his mother. You know, General Douglas MacArthur once said this. He says, "My sainted mother taught me a devotion to God and a love of country which have ever sustained me in my many lonely and bitter moments of decision in distant and hostile lands. To her, I yield anew a son's reverent thanks." MacArthur, in his military exploits, understood loneliness and bitterness and hostility and distance. And yet these things, all of these things, did not stop him from remembering his mother's teaching and her great wisdom. Jesus wasn't stopped either. You see, a footnote in the Living Bible shares similar sentiments regarding Jesus and the remembrance of his mother. And it reads like this. Despite his intense suffering, Jesus does not forget his mother after the flesh. His filial devotion is such that he makes provision for his mother after his death. He turns her over to John, who was to be like a son to her. So how could our Savior, himself submerged in agonizing pain as he hung on that cross, how could he somehow, in that suffering, remember his mother? And the answer is quite simple. It's because Jesus, our suffering Savior, never forgot the will and never forgot the love of his heavenly Father. You see, when we remember God, when we believe in and live for and love and lean on God, we can be better, we can better care for, and we can never, ever, if that's the case, we'll never forget our moms. And I can tell you this, I am a better son today because I'm a Christian. That wasn't always the case. A lot of people say, "Well, you've always been a pastor. You've always been a godly man." Not really. And I can remember when I was not that good of a son. And it was when I really, really thought I was a Christian, but I really wasn't a Christian. I wasn't living for God. I wasn't believing in God. I wasn't trusting in God. And I can tell you this, my mom, and she's going to be here in second service, she's going to be over there saying, "He's right. He's right. I know that I wasn't the son that my mom or God wanted me to be because I was simply a carnal Christian. Things change when we give our lives to God. Things change when we believe in God, and then we see the value of our moms. Moses tells his people in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, he says, "Don't forget the Lord your God and begin to disobey him." The psalmist says in Psalm 103, verse 2, "Yes, I will bless the Lord and not forget the glorious things he does for me." And we can't either. I love the 31st Proverb. Folks, in churches worldwide today, the 31st Proverb will be read in probably 90% of those churches. It is a wonderful proverb. If you've never read Proverb 31, read it, because it is great. It is a wonderful dedication to godly wives and women and mothers. And we're going to refer to it today. But it begins with these words, Proverbs 31:1. It says, "These are the wise sayings of King Lemuel of Massa, taught to him at his mother's knee." Now, this passage is great. But it's great for many reasons. One of the greatest reasons is that this king was taught by his mother, and then we get to see the words that are shared between mother and son. She taught him, and then he remembered her words because, as verse 2 states, she dedicated him to the Lord. Now, here's what we can ascertain from this passage so far. She remembered God, and Lemuel then remembered the words of his mom. And these things go hand in hand, folks. When we remember God, we're going to better be able to remember our moms. When we live for God, we're going to see the value of our moms. Hannah, a great and godly mother, remembered her God who rewarded her with a son. 1 Samuel 1 and 2. What did that son Samuel do? He remembered his mom by living for his and her God. Dr. Joseph Parker once said that when Robert Moffat was added to the kingdom of God, a whole continent was added with him. And a mother's kiss did it. He was leaving home and his mother was going with him part of the way, as far as she could go. At last she could walk no further and she stopped. "Robert," she said, "promise me something." "What is it?" asked the boy. "Promise me something again." And he replied, "Well, you'll have to tell me before I will promise." And he looked into her face and said, "Very well, mother, I will do anything you wish." She clasped her hands behind his head and pulled his face down to hers and said, "Robert, you're going out into a very wicked world. Begin every day with God. Close every day with God." And then she kissed him. And Robert Moffat says that that kiss is what made him a missionary. Now, why do we bring this up? Because Robert Moffat remembered the kiss of his mom. And Robert Moffat got to see the dedication that his mom had to God. When we remember God and when we remember mom, folks, we can do all kinds of wonderful things. And this world is a better world today when our moms are plugged in and living for and believing and leaning on God. Do we do this today? Do we remember them like they remember us and those things that are important to us every day? Let me give you a quick story. When I was young, my mom was all about birthdays. She loved birthdays. My dad not so much, but my mom loved them. And she would do anything for us in our birthdays. And she, one of the neat things that she would always do, and this is something we always look forward to, she would always say, "I'm going to make you whatever you want for your birthday." My mom was a good cook. And so we would get to choose our meal for our birthday. In addition, she would say, "Plus, I'm going to make you for dessert whatever you want for your birthday." And so one year, and I don't know how I got this idea, I was just a little boy. And I remember one year I said, "Mom, I know what I want for my birthday. I said, I really, really want a devil's food chocolate cake, and I want chocolate chip frosting on top." I don't even know where I got this idea. But my mom made it happen, and I'll never forget it. And so, and my mom gave me the cake. And the neat thing about it, you guys remember this is getting back into the 70s and 80s. They may still do it today. I just don't get it at the grocery store enough. But do you remember the little squares you buy at the grocery store, cellophane-wrapped, the little candies that you put on top of the cake and you stick the candles in? And then you pull the candles out and you get to eat those things. My mom always did that too, and I love those candies. So she did that. So I got my cake, devil's food, chocolate chip frosting, little candies with the candles sticking out. And my dad was the first one to try to get the candies. My mom said, "No, it's his birthday." And she listened. But anyway, so I got the cake, and I love this cake. This cake was amazing. And I remember my mom was watching me eat this cake because I was enjoying every bite of this cake. Folks, I snuck cake when she wasn't looking. She'd go outside. I was eating this cake. This cake was magically disappearing. She blamed my dad. I loved it. It was my fault. But my point is, and this is my point. My point is, my mom never forgot that cake. So subsequent years afterward, for my birthday, my mom would always say, "What do you want for your birthday? And by the way, do you still want the devil's food cake with the chocolate chip frosting and the candies with the candles coming out?" She did this until I got diagnosed pre-diabetic and then the whole cake thing ended. But the point is she remembered. She remembered the love that I had for that cake. And I look at this and I think, how do moms remember these things? How do they care so much about their children that they're able to remember these things? And it shows us that moms have a special ability to remember their children. And today, we're called to remember our moms. And we're called to remember the love that our moms have for God. Paul remembered Rufus' mother in Romans 16:13. Just like Jesus remembered his and cared for his own in our sermon text today. Do we? I mean, we're forced to remember a lot of things on a daily basis, if you think about it. Our schedules are so busy, and it's so crazy, and trying to keep up with those is difficult. You got to remember places you got to be. You got to remember work assignments. You got to remember chores. You got to remember your meds. You got to remember, and you got to remember moms. And oftentimes, we sometimes fail to do that. Now, our moms are normally kind enough not to mention anything to us. They're not going to come out and say, "You know what, you don't even think about me anymore. You don't come visit me. You don't talk to me. You don't see me. You don't call me." Well, actually, maybe they do. And by the looks, maybe you're getting these calls. The point is this. The point is that we have a responsibility. And our responsibility is to not forget them. You see, remembering who our God is helps to remind us of what our godly mothers did for us kids. And that reminds us that if we're going to remember them, that we also need to honor them. And remembering leads to honoring. So what about mom? And what about God? What is honor? It is high regard and it is high respect. To honor someone, especially our mothers, is to regard them highly and respect them deeply. A byproduct of this motherly honor is faithful obedience. Do we honor our moms still, and do we see the importance of obeying God's perfect will? In essence, obedience originates from honor. Do we honor mom and God today? You know, it's interesting because if I could get my mom anything for Mother's Day, again, she'll be here second service, I know what it would be. And I've actually done pretty good this year. I think I've got her some pretty good gifts. I'm pretty happy. Plus, we're taking her to Rosati's and Normal. Have you ever been there? I mean, that's some good pizza eating. But she wouldn't want any of that stuff. She'd forego the meal. She'd forego the gifts. Because if I asked my mom, "Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day?" Here's what she would say. And she's going to get it today. She would say, "I want my husband. I want my two kids. I want my daughters." They're not daughters-in-law. They're daughters. "And I want my grandchildren in the same church worshiping together today." And she's going to get that. You see, her greatest wish will be that her family will be with her in God's house, remembering and honoring obediently God today. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and mother." Ephesians 6, verse 2, "Honor your father and mother." Moses and Paul, they understood this kind of honor. Why and how? Because they honored God. They lived for God. They loved God. God was their center. God was their driving force. Moses talks about honor in Deuteronomy 26:19. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, "Honor God with your body." I love the end of Proverbs 31. The whole thing's good, but the ending is great. Specifically, verse 31, it says this. It says, "Praise her." And "her" is referred to in verse 30 of Proverbs 31. It says, "Praise her, a woman who fears and reverences God." That's a godly woman. That's a godly mother. It says, "Praise her for the many fine things she does. Those good deeds of hers shall bring her honor and recognition from people of importance." Do you know who these people of importance are? They're not our president. It's not Congress. It's not your representatives. It's not your actors and actresses. Not your sports stars and athletes. The people of importance are her kids. The people of importance, Jesus. That's who our moms find to be important. That's who they value. That's who they love. Today, we are called to give them that kind of honor, to offer them this kind of obedience. So are we honoring mom? And we, as God's children, should be honoring God. The question is, are we? Pastor Paul Brown, his wife, and 5-year-old daughter Ruthie were traveling by train from Chicago to Los Angeles. When it came time to put daughter Ruthie to bed, Mrs. Brown leaned down and told the little girl, "Don't be afraid or frightened, honey. God will watch over you." A little later, Ruthie called from her upper bunk and she said, "Mama, are you there?" "Yes, my dear, I'm here." "Papa, are you there?" "I'm right beside you, honey." Another patron in a nearby bunk yelled, "Everyone's here. Your ma, your pa, your aunt, your uncle, sisters, brothers, we're all here. Now shut up." After a pause, Ruthie's little whispered voice asked, "Mama?" "Yes, dear." Was that God? Well, you can only hope he didn't sound like that, right? Little Ruthie teaches us that we need mom and we most certainly need God. Remembering, honoring, and still to this day, moms, needing. We still need you. We still need you. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 8, he says, "Your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him." That is right, folks. Even God knows that we children have needs. In fact, Paul said in Philippians 4:19, "It is God who will supply all your needs from his riches and glory because of what Christ Jesus has done for us." 2 Corinthians 9:8, "God will give you everything you need and more. So there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others." Do you know who the others are? Do we know who the others are? Moms, you know who the others are. Oftentimes, these others are the children of the great and godly mothers. God addresses their needs, and moms, you address ours. I love Proverbs 31:27. Listen to this. It says, "She watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household." In many cases, I wish my mom never watched all the things that went on throughout her household. Moms, I don't know how you do it. My mom never caught me with the chocolate cake, but she caught me with a lot of other things. But they know our needs. They watch for our needs. And see, today we kids know that moms care about our needs. My wife and I have never been so busy. We have never, and we know this, we've never been so busy. And so my mom will call me, and she does this quite frequently, and she'll say, "Chad, honey, I know how busy you are with both jobs." And she said, "So here's what I want to do. I want to come up, if I can, just come up and just give me the kids. Let me take the kids. I'll take the kids out. I'll do whatever you need just to give you guys some alone time, some quiet time, because you don't have any time." Now, there's a theme that my mom always talks about the kids. There's got to be a connection there, right? Is that right? She just wants to hang out with the kids. She loves her children. And she still, to this day, cares about all of our needs. A guy shares a story. He says, "When we moved cross country, my wife and I decided to drive both of our cars. Nathan, our 8-year-old, worriedly asked, 'Dad, how will we keep from getting separated?' I reassured him by saying, 'Well, we'll drive slowly so that one car will follow the other.' But Nathan persisted. He says, 'Yeah, Dad, but what if we get separated?' And I joked and said, 'Well, then I guess we'll never see each other again.' Nathan said, 'Okay, well, then I'm riding with Mom.'" So true. Sadly, so true. We still need Mom, and we still need God. It's obvious that we need our mothers. The question today is, do we remember them? Do we honor them? Which should encourage us to still obey them. Our relationship with God only enhances our responsibility to our mothers. They go hand in hand, and they always will. Especially when God and our moms are walking every day hand in hand. You see, moms, you're the examples. You're the people who teach us to become disciples. That's what moms do. They lead their children. They teach their children. And today, we realize that you still need us as much as we need you. It's interesting to Look at this. In 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul says, anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially those living in his own family, has no right to say he's a Christian. Such a person is worse than a heathen. You see, we're called biblically and spiritually, physically, emotionally. We're called to remember and honor our mothers in the same way that we are to remember our continued obedience to our Heavenly Father. This is what we're called to do. Jesus did this. Hanging from a cross in utter excruciating pain, he still somehow remembered his mom. Now, Jesus doing the will of God, even in suffering, meant remembering and honoring his mother. So on this Mother's Day, on this Sunday, we're called to do both. To remember mom and remember God, to honor mom and honor God because they see our needs. The question is, will we? Will we honor them? Will we remember them? Will we continue to love them? And will we provide for their needs as they have provided for ours? See, our mothers aren't always right. Sorry, moms, it's true. But we must remember and honor their righteousness. Now, there's something I could share. I've shared this before when I was a young man. I spilled orange juice in our kitchen. I've told this story many times. I'm not doing it in second service because she's here. And my mom begged me. I had lunch with her this week. She said, do not embarrass me. So I'm just going to embarrass her in the first service. So when I was a young man, I'm a big Illini fan. Many of you probably know that. I love the University of Illinois. This story has been told before. I'm going to keep it brief. I had tickets. My best friend, my brother, and I had tickets to go to the Assembly Hall, watch the Illini. This was a Big Ten battle. It was very important. And I came home from school, took orange juice. I poured orange juice out to get a glass of orange juice. The top came off. Orange juice went all over the kitchen. My mom freaked out. She said, what did you do? You're not going to the Illini game tonight. And I thought, that sounds like my dad. It's not my mom. And I said, Mom, there was an accident. It just came up. You're not going. Oh, it was bad. And now, my mom, I think today, she's never really admitted it, but I think she would admit that she was wrong. And if she didn't, I'm going to let her know that she was wrong. We'll do that at lunch today, not in church. But the point is that our moms aren't always right. They're not always going to be right. But we got to recognize our righteousness. And that means that we got to recognize the fact that our mothers choose to follow Jesus. Let me give you an example of this. A little boy had a bad habit of sucking his thumb. His mother tried in vain everything to break him of this terrible habit. Finally, she pointed out a very overweight and obese man and told her son the man had such a big stomach because he sucked his thumb. The next day, the boy spotted a very pregnant woman in the supermarket. He stared and stared and stared in amazement at her obviously oversized belly. Finally, the woman became annoyed and told the little boy, stop looking at me like that. You don't even know me. The little boy said, no, but I know what you've been doing. Definitely not mom's finest moment. They're not. I thought about that when I used to suck my thumb too. You know, I'm sorry, it's true. All right, so here's the point I'm making. This is the point. The point is this. They're not always right. They're not always right. But moms, we just ask you to be righteous because you're our example. And you're the ones. If you're here today because you're a mom, you're the ones that brought us to Jesus. And so we look to you for this and we lean on you for this. It has been said many times the most valuable gift you can give another is a good example. Jesus provides us with that as he provided for and remembered and honored his mother. We are not in the kind of pain or excruciating torture that Jesus was in. He remembered mom. Our question today is, do we? Do we remember mom and do we honor God? What are we doing? And what are we giving? And how are we as children living before and in front of mom and God? Are we obediently following their example faithfully? Proverbs 31:28, folks, this is it. This is the crescendo, the buildup. This is it. I love this verse. Proverbs 31:28. It says, her children stand and bless her. Psalm 26:12. Psalmist says, my feet stand on level ground in the great assembly, and I will praise the Lord. You know what that says? That says that we as children today, we as children can stand wherever we're at. We can stand and we can bless our moms, and we can stand today and we can thank our God. That's what we do today. So what about mom and what about God? They deserve to be remembered and honored and praised and thanked obediently and joyfully. Thank you, moms, for introducing us to your and now our God. Mothers, this is the Lord's day. This is your special day. And we thank you for meeting our crazy needs each and every single day. We remember you, we honor you, and moms, we still need you. To all of you mothers, happy Mother's Day. Let's stand and close with the song that I need. John, can you come up front, please? Always look over at me and say, you know, we didn't plan this. And the words just kind of work out perfectly. And Dan, we didn't plan this, but the words work out perfectly. And the fact that we need God and we need our moms. And I hope that this becomes very clear and evident today. You moms will never know how special you are. I hope today that you're going to feel just a little bit of that honor and remembrance from your children today as they thank you, and we continue to thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. You are great, moms, and we thank you for that. Today, we encourage you to go out and to continue to set a good example for your children. And children, today, I encourage you to do this. I encourage you to follow mom and to be disciples like your mom is and continue to walk with her each and every day that God gives you on this great earth. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, our mothers, they're so important to us. You've given us so much, and our mothers love you. And I pray today that like our mothers, we will love you. And I pray today that we'll honor our mothers and we'll remember our mothers. But I pray today that we'll do the same thing for you. You are greater than anything and anyone on this earth. And today we give you all the praise and the glory that you deserve. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we pray today that we will follow through on everything that our mothers have taught us and everything that your word continues to teach us. Thank you for this special day, a day in which we can glorify you and worship you, and that we can celebrate our mothers. We praise you for everything, and we ask that you'll go with us, keep us safe as we return to our homes, and help us to enjoy this special day that you've given us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. Good job, moms.